Chodesh Tov, everyone. Today's daf in Masechet Sukkah, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Gimel, and we are holding on Lamed Beit, Amud Beit, and we're five lines down from the big lines. We were just talking about how exactly we know what a hadas is, because the Torah never mentions the word hadas, it just calls it an Eitz Avot. So we had two issues. We had avot, meaning that it has to be doma l'shalshalet, and it has to be kolula. So it has to be braided, it has to be braided the entire way so that one braid connects like a chain into the next braid. So it's completely covered. And the other raya that we had was from the fact that it's called anaf eitz, which would have meant that the anaf, meaning that the leaves and the eitz, would have a similar taste. And that would be the hadas. Okay, this is where we got up to. So on the fifth line, we begin with Tana. Eitz avot kasher, but she'enu avot pasul. So the Brayta is saying, if you don't have a proper chain braid, then it's pasul. How do we define the proper level? So what is considered to be avot? Eichi dami avot. Omer of Yudah. V'udekai mitlata tlata tarfe bekina. You would need to have in each one of the little knots from which the leaves bud from, you would need to have three that would be coming out together from the same point along the twig, and that way it creates an effect of a chain. But if you only have two, and then one is beneath it, then it's not apparently considered to be avot. Rav Kahana says, afilu trei v'chad. Even if you have two that are coming out of the same place, and then you have one that is slightly below it, but that covers those two, that's also considered to be avot. And as a matter of fact, Rav Acha Bereid Rava, who was a Talmud of Rav Kahana, was makbid to bedafka by the type of hadas that had two with one below. Because since that's what Rav Kahana said, even though obviously three is even better, but he felt that since it was Rav Kahana's statement, he should follow what Rav Kahana said. Some say that he wanted to bedafka show that Rav Kahana was correct lahalacha in this, so that therefore he made a fuss of doing it that way. But lemaisa, we find this Gemara elsewhere where that wouldn't be the case, that we find Rava also did that. Hoyel v'nafik, remember we had by what's considered to be two different what do you call it? Tafshilin. So it was an even debate. So Sha'olah was considered a tafshil. So there, l'chor, it's not because of the halacha. Okay, but anyway, that's a summary. So this, when his son saw this, Rav Ashi's son saw this, Omerli Marbar, Memel Rav Ashi, Abba, Lahu Adash Shaita Karile. How can you be makbid on buying something that it shouldn't be kosher? Because we're going to see that the idea of Hadash Shoter, the whole idea of a Hadash, this is the reason we call it Shoter. Shoter, people translate it as wild, but the truth is it doesn't mean wild, it means insane. In the sense that since the point of the hadas is that it's meant to be completely misudar, it's got its head screwed on straight, so to speak. So its DNA has it as an eitz avot. So well, you've got a mistake in the DNA, it's nuts, that's what we're calling. So it's shoter. It's not just that it's wild, but that it's not misudar in its brain being obviously its genetic instructions. So it's a different sense of shaitan. Fine. That's how some of the Farshim explain it. I think it's a very beautiful pshat. Tana Rabban, Noshu Rov Alav, V'nishtai Rabo Mi'ut Kasher, U'bevachtei Avoto Kayemet. And this, on the surface, this halacha seems to be really wild. As it's saying, if most of the leaves from each one of these knots fell out, it's still okay as long as it's still an Eitz Avot. That's a contradiction in terms, because we define the Eitz Avot as needing a minimum of three leaves. So you're telling me that most of them fell out, so now I've only got two leaves. So then, I only have one leaf, I mean. So then how could you say Avot? Where's the Avot? There is no Avot Kayemet. Ask the Gemara, Guf HaKash, you just contradicted yourself. On the one hand, you say, Noshu Rov Alav Kasher. And then you say, but only if the Avoto is Kayemet, which is a contradiction. It can't be to Avoto Kayemet. Because Kiva Denatri Lutre, if two out of the three leaves fell out, How in the world do you find avot? Eichem eshkachesla. Omer Abaye, you're making an assumption. Your assumption is that since you have such a tough time finding avot with three leaves, that therefore there can't be anything better than that, right? This is as good as it gets. But that's not true. Because if you have a hadas that's growing along, this is Rashi's preferred pshat, if you have a hadas that's growing along the outside of a field, so that means it's exposed directly to the sun, it's not shielded by anything else, so then it can grow very, very prolifically. And there, mashkachatla ba'asa mitzra'a, the other meaning, of course, could be an Egyptian asa, but the meaning over here, b'pashtas, is it's on the edge of the field, along the outside, it marks the boundary of the field, and therefore it's entirely exposed to the sun, and it doesn't have a lot of competition for nutrients, those can grow seven leaves out of one knot. So even if you have most of the leaves fall, means you got four out of seven that fall, you've still got three. So that's what it's saying. Uvat shtei avoto kayemet, it should still be able to be considered to be braided and chained, chain braid. And that you can have if you start off with shiva shiva b'chadkina. Even if four will fall out, you still are left with Pashalu Tlata. And Tlata is the shear that is required for the Avoto Kayemet. Omer Abaya, but one thing you see from there, says Abaya, that must be, if we're talking about this case, that an Asa Matra is kosher for Hoshana. Well, obviously. I mean, why wouldn't it be? Pshit. Well, mal detema el v'it leit shem levai lo mitkasha. I might have thought that since, I mean, we said numerous things, that if it has a subspecies name attached to it, so then it's not kosher. So maybe this is not the standard asa. Kamash malam, es te gemara ve'ema hachinami. So maybe it's really true. No, because the Torah identified it as an eitz avot. Anything which is an eitz avot, omar achmana. Mikol makom. Now, I just have a little bit of a discussion with you over here, because as Tosfos points out, this is completely nutty. What do you mean, ema achinami? What would be the makar for saying that a subspecies would not be kosher? Only the fact that the Torah identified the species, right? So therefore, I would say, since every time the Torah mentions the species, it never mentioned the subspecies, it must mean that we can't include the subspecies, correct? So we made the nafkamina before whether the subspecies were noted before Matan Torah or whether they're only a more sophisticated subspecies differentiation, and therefore the Torah wasn't makban on it, correct? Now Tosis points out that all of that has no bearing on what we're talking about over here. Because what we're talking about over here is not the identification of a certain species called hadas. The Torah never mentioned the word hadas. We're looking for an Eitz Avot. So what the heck would it mean to say that Ema Hachinami, let's say that it's possible because it's a Hadas Matzra, and therefore Yisva Shem Levi. The Torah didn't say a shame of a species. How could it have a subspecies if there's no species? It doesn't make any sense, this Tosfos. And understand it. And Tosfos proves it. Look. We were ready, if it wouldn't have been for Drachea Darchei Noam or Emes Vashalom Ha'eva that we had yesterday, we would have said that you could even use oleander. You're talking about oleander having some kind of connection to Hadas? Because we don't care about Hadas. That's the whole point, isn't it, Sistosis? And he leaves the question hanging. Now, I have an explanation, but the explanation only works according to Rashi's Pshat, that Hadas Asa Mitzra'a does not mean Egyptian Asa. So if it means Egyptian Asa, so then it's impossible. Who cares if it's Egyptian Asa, Roman Asa, whatever? It should be potter because of the fact that it has a Shem Levi. That doesn't make any sense. Ella, if you take Rashi's more preferred pshat, that Asa Mitzra'a refers to where it grows. So there you can understand the Gemara like this. If the Torah said Eitz Avot, it may be referring to a standard Avita. The very fact that people needed to call this by a sub-name, it's the Asa on the edge. Why do they call it that? To be able to identify the difference between a standard braid and a non-standard braid. That's the point of the Gemara. It says, maybe Emar Chinami, not because of the normal din of Shem Levi, because it's called Egyptian Mitzrah, Egyptian Asa, but rather because of the fact, if it's so different than the standard, then you have to worry that maybe indeed it's considered to be non-standard avot, and therefore should be pasuk kamashmalan. We don't make such a conclusion that the Torah is makban a particular type of avot. Anyway, okay, I thought it was a good thought. I'm not getting any smiles, so I'm going to continue. All right. Tanur Rabban, Yovshu Rov Alav, V'nisharu Bo Shlosha Badei Alin Lachin Kasher, V'omer Rav Chista U'Barosh Kol Echad V'Echad. So Rashi understands, as do many other Rishonim, that what we're referring to over here are the three hadasim that you've got. And that's the kol echad v'echad. So that you've got every one of your hadasim is left with one proper shlosha bade alinachin that are not dried. So most of it, 99% of it is dry. But if you've got berosh kol echad v'echad on the top of every one of your hadas, you have a perfectly formed three-leaved typical hadas top, so then it's considered to be a remainder of hadas and it doesn't become nifsal. That's how Rashi learns. The Rush disagrees with this and he says, where does it say over here that it's talking about the all three of the hadas? And he understands it's talking about one hadas, and it's telling me what would be kosher on a single hadas, that if it fell out, as long as you have one fresh leaf that's covering three of the bottom on your single hadas, that's kosher. Anyway, this is the Russian's pshat lemaisa. The pshat that we go with is Rashi. Niktam rosha. So the next case is where there was somebody had cut off the top of the hadas, and now the question is there any way that that could become kosher? So Tari Ula Bar Chinana, yes, there is actually. Let's say that the tip of the hadas was cut off, and now Al Tabo Tamara, one of those little fruits, grows straight out of the tip. It covers over the cut tip, so that restores it to possibly the hadar, if that was the problem. In any event, what would be the din? That would be kosher. What would be the din, says Rabbi Yirmiyah, if the tip was cut off from before Yontev, and now it's Yontev and Altabot Marabi Omtov Mahu. Suppose it grows this little fruit. Would that be considered to be kosher or not? What is the question? The question is whether Yesh Dichui Eitz HaMitzvot or lo. Remember that we have the concept of Dichui by carbonates. So a carbon that had been kosher and something went wrong with it after it was already kosher and set aside as a carbon, and then it recovered, say that it had a mum over, and now it became all right. There's a concept of dihui, where something that was once shayach to being a mitzvah, once it's thrown out of that category, so then it's not considered to be a carbon that is kosher anymore. So now the question would be, does that apply to mitzvahs as well? Something that could have been used as a mitzvah but had a psul, namely over here where you had niktam rosho, and then it became roy again through the fact that this little fruit grew over it, is that considered to be a restoration? Because now there's nothing wrong with it, and it's hadar, or do we say yes, but this particular object has already been nitche from utilization for a mitzvah. Now, the truth is, remember that there's a major difference between nir'eh v'nitche or dichui be'ikara. Dichui be'ikara means, for instance, an animal was set aside for a carbon before it was 7 days old. So it's not roy to be a carbon. Never was roy to be a carbon. When it gets, after it becomes 7 days old, now it suddenly is near as a carbon. There was never a time that it was kosher. We said, whoops, can't use this. It was never kosher yet. So it was never in the category of bring the carbon. So that, in this case, would be where the clipping of the hadas had been done before Yontev, before you did anything that was miyachidit for the lulav. So at that point, we would say, okay, it's dichui, there's no dichui meikara perhaps. And it was never near of a nidcha. So the truth is that there's two different possibilities here. And when we're asking about whether yesh dichui eitz al mitzvahs or not, we're not being very careful. Because Rabbi Yirmiyahu was just asking, is the entire concept of dichui applicable to mitzvahs or not? Then we'll discuss whether it's dichui, even dichui meikara, or only near of a nidcha. But first of all, is the concept actually meaningful, or is it only a concept that has to do with something of Kiddusha? So that if it has Kiddusha, once something Kaddish was Nitcha, it's inappropriate to use it now for a Dover Kaddish. So that's my question. Says the Gemara, well, why is that a question? It says Beferish in the Mishnah. We have this Mishnah in Chulin, that somebody who had Shechted a bird, and now he needed to do Kisui Adam, or a Chaya, and he needed to do Kisui Adam, all of a sudden comes along a big heavy wind, covers the all of the blood with a pile of dust. And now the blood is not visible to cover. Nonetheless, the halacha is, you still, if it was nizgala, so you would say, okay, so now that it's, now here we're talking about first, let's go through the whole mission. Let's first talk about a person covered. A person covered it, even if it got uncovered, you don't need to do a covering again. Once you're Mekayim the Mitzvah, Mekayim the Mitzvah. What would be the din of Kisel HaRuach? If the wind covered it, and then it became open again, so the wind took off all of the dirt, then you would be Chayef to do the Kisui, because you were never Mekayim the Mitzvah of Kisui Adam. So over here, Omer Rabba Bar Bachana, Rabbi Yochanan, this is talking about, obviously, only where it was uncovered again. But if it remained covered, you're not mechuyev to put on more dirt on dam that was already covered with dirt, because it's already mechuset. Avalo chazav and izgala should be part of melechasos. Now, over there in Chulin, we asked, but if that's true, what Rabbi Yochanan said, that during the time that it was covered by the dirt that was blown by the wind, that during that time you have no chiyev to be mechasa, so then that means that the mitzvah was dochui, because there's no way that you could have been mekayim the mitzvah at that point. So why now, even if the wind uncovers it, why, kichosim in izgala, my chayiv l'chasot, hoil v'itchei itchei, once the mitzvah was no longer applicable, so then it's permanently off the wall, and you're no longer chayiv, no longer able to do that mitzvah. And Rav Papa was medayik from there, zoto meret, ein dichui etzom mitzvot. You see, from there, that indeed, there's no way to understand it except to conclude that ein dichui. So why did Rabbi Yirmiyahu say he doesn't know whether there would be a din of dichui if you grew the little inav on top of the broken hadas? Here it says beferish ein dichui etzo mitzvahs. No, Rabbi Yirmiyahu wanted to understand Rav Papa's inference. Rav Papa gufa mi boy. Is it very clear when Rav Papa said, you see from here, ein dichui etzel mitzvahs, that for sure? Mifshad pshita lei ein dichui etzel mitzvahs? And that would be true whether it's kula or chumra. It doesn't matter to me. I understand that when it comes to kisui adam, it's a chumra. Now that it's become available, go ahead and cover it. L'chumra. Maybe that doesn't necessarily mean that l'kula, go ahead and use the hadas for your lulav. Maybe not. But if Rav Papa was certain that the implication of that sugya was that ein dichus would be even l'kula, lo shel l'kula v'lo shel l'chumra, or perhaps Rav Papa was saying, look, you see from here at least, that it's a suffix whether yesh dichui etzel mitzvah, although, and again, you're not paying attention to me, whether yesh dichui etzel mitzvah or not, and because of that, we're going l'chumra. We're saying, go ahead and cover the blood again. L'chumra amrinan, but that doesn't mean that you can use this hadas for your lulav, which would be a kula, and the kula lo amrina, possibly teku. So therefore, we can't learn from here what the din is, legabi yesh dichui etzel mitzvah. But, says the Gemara, it does seem to be a machlokes tanoim. Where is that? Well, I mean, we had over here the machlokes about whether you went ahead, you're not allowed to say to anyantiv, to be memayet, the case, remember, we had more fruit, more of those little bud, those little tiny fruits that grow on it, which we call inav, So if you had like little berries, we call them like little grapes. So what would be the din if you went ahead, you weren't allowed to fix it on Yantav because it's similar to Tikkun Maneh, and you picked off the extra berries? So what would be the din? So over Veliktam, according to Rebbe Elazar ben Tzaddik, posel. V'chachamim machshirin. Now, what do you think that that machlokus is based on? I'll tell you what it's based on. Now, the truth is, it could be based on a lot of things. Why? Because consider the elements that are involved over here. There's obviously the element of yesh dichei etzel mitzvahs, right? In other words, this was not ro'oi to use until you picked off the excessive grapes or berries. That's one issue. But there's another question. The other question is there, in fact, a problem? If there's no such thing as dichei, there may be still another problem, which is the question about whether it would be tasev lo min ha'asui. Let's say you already had your lulav that consisted of the three minim of the lulav tied together. So then the question is, we had before, do we learn out sukkah, from sukkah, where over there the Torah said ta'aseh, and we learned out ta'aseh v'lo min ha'asui, you cannot use it if it just sort of appears, that is to say that you're now going to make it kosher by, let's say, the case of the haystack, where now you hollow out the haystack and now all of a sudden you have the sukkah on top, which had never been put there l'shem tzel. Okay, so that is the question. So maybe that's good for the question over here. Is there a tasev lo min ha'asui problem? Or maybe there's another question. Is there a tasev at all? If there would be a tasev, namely, that you would have to make your lulav, that is to say, you'd have to tie the three minim together, that would be an asiyah. That's called the question of lulav tzorech eged. You have to tie it, lulav, together. Okay, if I have to tie it together, then maybe it's for sure that I would learn it out of sukkah, but maybe not. So the truth is, we really have three separate elements over here that are all intertwined in terms of making a determination as to whether this is considered to be a problem. So initially, we wanted to keep things in such a way because we made an assumption that would allow us to deal with the question of yesh dichei etzel mitzvahs. So therefore, we said, Sivarua, initially everybody said over here, you know what, it must be that both the Chachamim and Rebbe Elazar ben Tzaddik assume that there's no din of lulav tzorech eged, so there's no din of tasa. And even if there would be a din of tasa, we wouldn't have learned out the dinim, it doesn't say the word tasa by lulav, so therefore we don't have a mocker of tasa v'lumina osri unless we compare lulav to sukkah. We assume that nobody expects us to compare lulav to sukkah. Because so there's only one out of the three issues that are left. And that is that there must be my lab bakamifagate. That the man Yomar who says that it's possible Rebbe Elazar ben Tzaddik, he holds that since it originally had a psul, and therefore once it's possible it had too many of these berries on it, you can't use it again as a mitzvah because yesh dichei etzel mitzvah. So apparently we have a machlokas tanai, says the Gemara. Well, that's an awful big leap to make when there's two other possible explanations about what they're arguing about, right? I mean, I could easily tell you that actually kuleyama lo amrinon yesh dichei etzel mitzvahs. Everybody's made it, there's no problem. So over here the question could be, is there a pagam of tasev lo min ha'asui? Do we learn out that the lulav is possible if it wasn't made l'chatchila behechsher gomor, and now you made it kosher after already you did the eged? Do we learn that out of sukkah? And it's called psul of tasev lo min ha'asui. Nothing to do with mitzvah about being dochui or not. That's one possibility. The other possibility, they're arguing gufa in the question of lulav tzorech eged. Maybe everybody would agree that he's viral on lulav tzorech eged. Then everybody would agree that it's a psul of tasev lo min ha'asui because yafin and lulav misukah. And the question over here is gufa whether does a lulav tzarech eged? V'alcha b'lulav tzarech eged kamik for gay. And we know that there is that machlokas. So therefore, it's very possible that this is simply an outgrowth of that machlokas, because we're pluktadani tanoi. We know that there's a machlokas. The Tanya in the Braisa, lulav is kosher, whether it's ogud or not, says the Tanna Kamma. As Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Only if it's ogud. But if it's eno ogud, it's mamish parcel. It's not a kosher lulav. My time at the Rebbe Yehuda, Rebbe Yehuda learns out the concept of lekicha from the lekicha of agudat ezov on Pesach. So just like it says there, ulekachtem agudat ezov, and that lekicha needs to be done as an aguda. So the same thing is true over here. For lekachtem lechem means as an aguda. Lekachtem lechem beyom rishon, ulekachtem agudat ezov, malahalan aguda, afkan aguda. Whereas the Rabbanan hold that we don't compare the Agudat Ezov, the Lesle, Lekicha, Lekicha, it's not such Gezer Shava, and so on, and we're Mekabalit, and because of that has nothing to do with Yesh Dichle Eitzel Mitzvah. So obviously, when you have three different elements that could be arguing it, you can't conclude any of them. Okay, so far we have no raya about whether there's Dichle Eitzel Mitzvahs. We only know that there's a Chumrah of Rav Papa who says, L'chumra, you should act as maybe. I mean, maybe he says more than that, but the most we can know at this point is that for purposes of being yotzei a mitzvah, don't take a chance and do the mitzvah if it was nidcha. And now it's back. Now that you mentioned this idea of eged, so then I don't understand the bright. We had this before, this whole bright, the whole discussion. Lulav is a mitzvah to be oged the lulav, but if you didn't do it, it would be kosher. That's not true according to anybody. No, I mean, a limit of Yehuda, kilo agdo, it's not even kosher. So why would it say kilo agdo, am I kosher? And if it's going on limit of Rabbanan, why is there a mitzvah? Where do they get the idea there's a mitzvah agdo? If they don't hold that we compare it to agudat ezov, so what would be the point of being ma'aged your lulav? Truth is, the olam Rabbana, u'mitzvah mishom ze kelevian veyu. That is only a lechatchila, but it certainly is nicer to have a lulav that is all put together, and therefore that would be the mitzvah la'ogto. Okay, next thing we had in the Mishnah was oshahaya anavav merubi. So if you've got more berry, then you've got leaves, so then it would be possible. Om Rav Chista, let me tell you something that our Rabbeinu HaGadol said over, and the Rabbeinu Shel Olam should help him, that his word should always be Mekubal. Dovar Zer Rabbeinu HaGadol, meaning Rav, Omro, V'hamakom Yiyeh Be'ezro, Lo Shano Ela B'makom Echad, Ava B'Shnayim V'Shlosha Mekomot, Kasher. When do we say that the Hadas is possible because it has so many berries? That's only if they're all concentrated in one place and therefore they've made a real mess of things and they're very noticeable. But if you scatter them throughout the Hadas, even if there's more berry than there are leaves, it would still be kosher. Omale Rava, so Rava said to him, it seems to me it's just the opposite. And if it's, some have a gears are just the opposite. There's a lot to discuss about that, which we don't have time. But Shnai, because it's going to be Nogea, the Sugya later on by Chazazit, on an Etrog, maybe we'll be able to get back to it there. Shnai Mushloshim Mekomot, it's Menumar. For sure it should be possible. Because Menumar means it doesn't have the Mar'eh of Adas. It looks like it's like it's the spots of the tiger. So it's got like, let's call it Namer. So it looks like it's all spotted. That's not very Hadar. That should be even a bigger problem. You're right. Okay, Elayid, let's adjust that. If what it was that he said in the name of Rab must have been different, Elayid mar achiyid mar. Oh, shall you anava merubi mi alav basul? If you had more berries, what Rav Chista said was this. Dover zeh Rabbeinu HaGadol amar ova makomi ebezro. Rav, our great Rebbe, taught us. And may Hashem help him. Lo shanu ela anavav shichorot. This is only where the berries have already turned color. These berries, when they dry out, they start turning dark, start turning black. So there, it shows up very much against the Hadas. Aval anavav yirukot, when they first grow, they're green. So then they don't even show up against the Hadas. It's just like part of the Hadas. Mini de Hadasu v'kasher. So at that point, what we're saying, therefore, that Rav is saying is that there's nothing really wrong with the Hadas that has berries. The only thing that's wrong is the fact that there's this sense of minumar, that it looks like a non-beautiful hadas, because what are all these splashes of other colors in it? Black. So that I understand is a problem. But the very fact of having berries, that's a nice hadas. Hadas has berries. It's green. It looks like fresh leaves. That's all typical hadas. And that would be mine hadasu v'kasher, amr of papa. If the berries are red, then they're just as bad as being black. The Amr of Chanina, why is that? Because Rav Chanina said when it came to Dam Nida, we said that Dam that was black is actually also considered to be a psul of red blood. Why? Because every black is actually a type of red that has become loka. So it's actually degenerated that now it looks black. So then if that's the case, I mean, what in the world does that have to do with here? Why don't we just say, look, it's a different color, and it shows up against the hadas, and therefore it would be a non-hadas appearance. You said that was enough. I mean, what do I care if it's orange, blue, or whatever? It does not look like the hadas. No, you said it's a mini hadas. The whole thing is very weird. And to bring a raya from hemoglobin that turns, I mean, what does that have to do with the coloration of a dead fruit and the coloration of a mammal's blood? I mean, it's very strange. So apparently the issue is like this. When we take a look at these red berries, that we could see that red as a form of the green berry. Whereas the green berries always have a little bit of reddish color and turns red, so now it looks like a Christmas hadas, you know? But it's a very pretty hadas. It's like an extra special hadas. So maybe that would be considered not to be a type of color that is non-hadas. That's what we're saying. But that it already looks like it's degenerate. That's the point. So Bimbela, if red is a degeneration, it's a type of really, it always borders on black, then it's mistaber that it does not give it a pretty appearance. Maybe that would be the way to look. Okay, so then the Mishnah said, if you went ahead and you were b'mayit, so you took off the berries, so now it becomes kosher. Now, when did you take off the berries? Did you take off the berries before you made this into a lulav or not? So, Eli, maybe kame dilagde. Obviously, I need a Mishnah to tell me I could take off the berries from a plant in order to have a kosher hadas. Why the heck not? There was nothing that said, this hadas is part of a lulav. Understand what part of a lulav? This hadas is part of a presentation of flowers to my fiance. Well, I understand what you're talking about. What, every myrtle had asked me milchatchila kosher for a lulav? I mean, right now it's perfectly kosher hadas. What's it nogea that I do? So what are you talking about? Of course it's kosher. Why wouldn't it be? It's before yontif. It's before I turned it even into a lulav. I mean, of course it's kosher. So it's got to be talking about that I did something to make this into a lulav. And now the question is, do I or do I not get into a problem of making it kosher ex post facto? So what happened over here is that it must have been that I already was ba'aged this lulav for yontif, and I went ahead and I picked it off, and it's telling me that nonetheless it's kosher. Oh, now wait a minute. So now already you told me nonetheless it's kosher because there's no problem maybe of Tasev Olamina Asi. Okay, that could be. I mean, it's coming to teach me some Chiddush. Okay, so maybe that's the Chiddush. No problem of Tasev Olamina Asi. You're able to use it. But meanwhile, it's definitely telling us that even though this, at the time that I put it into the Eged of the Lulav, it was not a kosher Hadas, that there is no dichui, at least in a case where it's dichui meikara, which is the lowest level of dichui. There would be no dichui if it was dichui meikara. So then, at least we got part of our issue, which we were questioned before, Miriam, what's the din of yesh dichui etzel mitzvahs or not? At least we can definitely prove that we can use it, even the kula, a dichui meikara. Well, I mean, maybe it's talking about that you did it after you made it into an aguda, but it's not yontif yet. So at this point, what's the aguda? The aguda is that you're saying, this is what I would like to use as a lulav. That's called hazmana. Who's to say that hazmana is sufficient to give it a din that it's already there for the mitzvah. Maybe it's Gufa coming to tell me that until it's actually yontiv and it's miyuchad for the mitzvah, so there'd be no problem. You're simply fixing a myrtle. What's the big deal? And it could be, because eged is nothing but hazmana. And hazmana be amalav klum, just because I say I'd like to use this, I mean, there's no dichli that shayach to it. It's not a mitzvah yet. So there's no dichli at all, not mikora, not afterwards. There's nothing. So this can't prove a darn thing. Okay, but then it says like this, ein mematid biyom tov, you're not supposed to be mamayit. Okay, what if you were mamayit? So then you were over on a tikkun mana, right? But it's saying over here that it's kosher. Because, I mean, if it weren't kosher, so then what would be wrong with plucking it off on yontif? You're not being metaken mana, correct? So it's got to be that I'm fixing it, and it would then be kosher. So if that's the case, tell me, when did it become pasul? Now I'd like to understand. When did the berries turn black? Because we said before, if they're green, then they're not pasul, right? Okay, tell me when the berries were black. The ashur emas. So if these berries turned black before Yontif, yesterday, okay, so you're telling me that it was dichoy mikorav. So in other words, at the time that Yontif started, we already have a non-kosher hadas. Okay, so you're at least proving that dichoy mikorav is not a problem. That's what's got to be the minimum. So tif should be ne dichoy mikorav lo dichoy. Your only option is that the blackening took place on Yontif itself. But that's even a bigger problem. Because then you're going to be proving that even if it was Nira v'nitcha, it would be Shema Mina Nira v'nitcha Choz v'niras. Don't tell me you don't know whether there's Dichoy v'mitzvahs. At the very least, you know that there's no Dichoy mi'kora for mitzvahs. You might even know from here that there's no Nira v'nitcha. Says the Gemara, okay. I mean, but let's not go that far. I mean, you can't prove to me that it's talking about that it turned black on Yontif. So I'll say to you, okay, fine. It turned black before Yontif, and you're right. We can definitely prove from here that dichoy mi'kara lo havi dichoy. Yes, that tifshat mina. That you can prove from here. But you cannot go so far as to prove nira v'nitcha. Aval nira v'nitcha, chozer v'nitcha. That, love tifshot mina, that you're unable to bring a riot to, because I can always tell you, maybe it's talking about a case where it turned black before Yontif. Fine. Tana Rabbana. Ein mematin biyom tov. Mishum Reb Elezer, Reb Shimon Omer. No, you can even be memayedit on Yontif. You can even be memayedit on Yontif. Isn't it an iser of tikkun mana? And that you're making it kosher on Yontif, it should be osir. There's even a Shitas HaTosfos and some of the other Rishonim that learn, Rashi learns throughout Shas, that this is always a problem of a Shvus, because it's Deima L'tikun Mana. But there are Rishonim who learn that it's a Diraisa, and that you would be over on Tikun Mana Mamash, maybe similar to a Getter of Maka the Patish. So how would Reb Eliezer be matir? Omer Vashi, well, Reb Eliezer would be matir. Remember that this is Reb Eliezer, Reb Shimon. And Reb Shimon, Reb Eliezer's father, he holds that a dover she'ena miskaven is mutter. So following his father Shita, he would say, you picked the berries in order to eat them. That's what it's talking about. So kigon shilakatan la'achila, you wanted to eat the berries. It wasn't your kavana to be mitakein da'adas. Rabbi Eliezer goes like Rabbi Shimon, who's his father, Zorvala Kavua. The Omer Dover Shenim is Kavin Mutter. What do you mean Dover Shenim is Kavin Mutter? Didn't Abaye Varaba Darbet Arvaya murder Rabbi Shimon b'sikreishim aloyamus? Isn't this like the case where you just want to cut off the chicken's head to be able to give your kids a little puppet to play with, you know, put their fingers in the head, and they quack, 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 and you say, I didn't mean to kill the chicken. Oh my gosh, poor chicken died just because I cut off its head. What a super sensitive chicken. So that's considered to be a psik resha v'loyomus. By the way, there is actually a famous story of a chicken who survived for months, I think maybe even years, without a head. It's an amazing story. And this was like, the guy made tons of money off of this because he had done a poor job of cutting off the head of the chicken. And he was able, the heart does not require the brain to continue to function. And they had not cut through, they had done a lousy job, so they hadn't cut through the blood supply. They cut off the head. And the chicken went around and continued to live for a very long time. It's a perfectly good chicken. Couldn't eat anything, but the guy kept the chicken alive by forcing down food into its stub of its esophagus because he was making a lot of money.
Lifeless chicken, 18 months he lived.
18 months. Wow. Okay. So anyway, but normally a secretion of low yomos is a pretty good point. And over here, there's no way if you pick off the berries in order to eat the berries. So then there's no way to avoid the fact that you are meanwhile repairing the hadas. So even if he holds like his father is Meida, if it's a case of a psikresh v'lo yomut. Answers the Gemara, Chumayaskinan, de'it le hoshana achrite. He's got a different lulav that has other hadasim. So over there, this could be that there's nothing in it that is miyachid. This is a tikkun mana. What's the tikkun mana? What, that I ate some fruit off of hadas? That's tikkun mana? Well, what do you mean? Isn't this a lulav? No, my lulav's over there on the other side of the room. What makes this a lulav? Okay, if that's the case, then over here, it's not, what's the difference? Am I allowed to do this on Shabbos? Am I allowed to do this on Pesach? Yes, why can't I do it on Sukkot? Well, just because theoretically it would be possible to use it. Fine, that's a possibility. The problem is if that's the approach. So then we do not need to come on to saying that he holds like his father. Because it's not because that we're handling the Eino Miskaven, it's because it's not a lulav. And there's no problem of eating berries on Yontif, right? So therefore, others learn, no, we're still coming on to Davar Shen Miskaven. And the point over here is that since there is a concept of psik reisha that is lo nechale, where you have no interest in achieving the psik reisha, so there's a sheet that holds that a psik reisha de lo nechale is not considered to be a psik reisha. So then that could be the point of itle hoshana achritin. Tana Rabbana, hutar agdo b'yom tov, ogdo kagudah shel yerek. Suppose the tying got untied on Yom Tov, it fell off. Now you've got a lulav that is not mu'ugad. So what you can do is you can treat it the way you would treat a vegetable bundle. So all you do is you take a piece of leaf, you tie it around it, and then you put the leaf under the end. I understand. Why do you do that? Why not just make a bow? A bow is mutter to tie. No, it's going like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds, remember we had back in Shabbos, according to Rabbi Yehuda, making a bow is the equivalent of fully tying things. It yields aniva is a real kshira malyata. How could it be Rabbi Yehuda? If it's Rabbi Yehuda, he holds that lulav bo yeged. And if lulav bo yeged, it has to be properly tied. So this is not properly tied to stuff the edges around it. How is that properly tied? Well, the Tana may hold like Rabbi Yehuda in one halacha that you're not allowed to tie with a bow, but he may not agree with Rabbi Yehuda that you require eged. He's only saying that you should have eged because of Zekeli Ve'anveyu. But even for that, he's saying all you need to do is to stuff the pieces under because you don't have the option of really tying. Now, there's some fascinating halachas that are learned from this because it's interesting that if you don't hold of Rabbi Yehuda, right, so then you're saying that you ought to, you don't hold of Eged, but you ought to have it tied because of Zekeli V'anveyu, in which case he would still need to tie it, if possible, with a bow. The problem is he can't tie it with a bow because he holds like the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda that tying a bow is Asur on Yontif. Now, this leads to a tremendous problem. The tremendous problem is that what we do with our lulav is exactly this. How do you make those little rings for your lulav? Do you make a knot, or do you just turn the leaf a number of times around itself, put the other leaf through it, pull it tight, and now it's like Agudat Shel Yerek. There was no bow, and there was no knot. So how in the world are you going to be Yotzei that this should be considered to be your... I understand it's not Ma'akev, but there's a mitzvah to have a lulav that is Me'ugad, even according to the Chachamim Ma'arg and Reb Yehuda, and your lulav is not Me'ugad. It's only Agud Ke'Agudat Shel Yerek. Nice question, huh? Okay, we'll discuss more of this tomorrow because I want to be able to get to a Mishnah, but this is a serious issue in the Parsha.